You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The actual text for this morning, for the few words I'd like to share, is actually from the epistle, which Susan read, Acts 1, verse 8, where the apostles are told, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem," and so forth and so on. And what this is about is the time in the Bible between when he left on Ascension Day, which is why we wear red today, to when he returned through the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, and finally, physically, you might say, in what we call the Second Coming. And all of that's a little bit abstract, but what is really about is, he's gone, I'm here, where is he? What do I do? And the profoundest element of life's, the opposite of bonheur, douleur, the hardest part of life is the time when God is not apparently present and you are alone. When for one reason or another, he's gone. It's a husband or a wife, or a child, or somebody, but you're all alone, and it is a time of enormous discoloration and diminution and often despair. And I always quote the Zombies from 1965. You remember this song, it's called She's Not There, and it goes, "Let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she'd act, and the color of her hair. Her eyes are clear and bright. Her voice is soft and cool. But she's not there." Pum, 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 pum. One of the great songs. They're currently touring England, by the way. They're 85 years old, and the Zombies are touring England as we speak. But the issue I want to ask you about is God there when you're alone? How is God here in a real way, not in an abstract way, when we really need him and we're solo and life is presenting us with all the different impossible to avoid conditionalities that happen? And believe it or not, I want to take you back to Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley told Tina Louise, before he died, the name of his favorite single. The favorite single that Elvis Presley had ever recorded, he said, was Kentucky Rain, 1969. It's important. This is not a joke. He said it was the most powerful single he had ever recorded. And I want to read you two verses of it. You can hear it in your mind because you've heard it before. "Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home." And then he has the refrain, "Kentucky rain keeps pouring down." He is completely and totally, radically undone by the loss of one particular person who has constituted the love and the comfort and the hope and the joy of his entire life. And I would say that for many of us, the human condition is like this often, not always, but often. He's not there. Where are you, God? I need somebody. I don't just need a talk. I don't just need an exposition. I need you. Will Fagan preached very well on this subject last Thursday night, by the way. Where do you go when he's not there? But Kentucky Rain's not over. The last verse goes like this. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, "Were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon?" As we drove on through the rain, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find her. Now notice, that was planned. Power of what happened is that the preacher was a perfect preacher. Preachers only have two roles, to listen and then to pray. To listen in love so people can talk about what's happening, and then to pray. So Elvis writes, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find her. But wait, that's not what he sings. I read it wrong. That's not what he says at the last of the song. As we drove on through the rain, it actually goes, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find you. It completely changes. And when you're going home in your car, listen to it, because you expect him to say in indirect discourse, a prayer that I'd find her. But he switches at the last minute, Elvis, and he says that I'd find you. He goes from the, to put it one way, the third person indicative to the second person subjunctive. It's not that I'd find her. It's that I'd find you. And that's the last line in the entire powerful song. So I just want to ask you, do you find that it helps to talk about God in the third person? To talk about God in some abstract or intellectual way? It's very normal. It's very normal that we would. But does that really answer the question? Elvis instinctively switches from that I'd find her to I'd find you. And what I guess I'm asking you to consider is to ask when you're praying, if you're talking to an entity who is abstract and in the third person, it's really just head. But if it's I'd find you, the second person, it moves to an entirely proper one-to-one dynamic conversation with someone who is there. And that's my experience. One final thing. I went to a school as a little boy where we had Episcopal chapel 5 days a week, every single morning. And it was very, what used to be called liberal theological Episcopalianism. And the headmaster was always talking about Jesus. He's long, long dead, but he was a nice man, lovely canon of the cathedral. And he would say, what we need to find in the Bible is the exemplary teacher. He was always talking about the great teacher, the exemplar. And we all said, yeah, that sounds good. But one day, by some strange chance, a Church of England canon, an old gentleman, came in and was invited to speak to the chapel after Easter. And we sort of all rolled our eyes when his English accent started. And he talked about Mary Magdalene at the tomb when Jesus had risen from the dead. And he stopped at the phrase, she, Mary Magdalene, supposing him, Jesus, to be the gardener. You've heard the phrase. She supposed him to be the gardener. And this funny old doddering canon looked at all of these young men, and he said, boys, he said, have you supposed him to be the gardener? Well, we rolled our eyes. What are you talking about? You? You're talking to us as if we're sort of in it? Everybody just screamed. But it was such a harmless thing to say. But he said, have you supposed him to be the gardener? Well, it was a key point in my life. On the one hand, I was disgusted and a little embarrassed that religion would ever go to that degree of actually talking to me. And yet I never forgot it as long as I live. I bless the man who would be 127 today. I bless the man because he said, have you, not her or him, supposed him to be the gardener? Well, that's all I want to say. If you're thinking about a problem that you're wrestling with, And you're thinking about God in the third person, in the indicative, and as someone there, I understand, of course. But why don't you pull an Elvis and out of emotional need, switch it to the second person? So he says, I prayed that I'd find you. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.